الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. First and most important for all of us is to know what is the purpose and object of our coming year also, and also the purpose and object of Ramadan. Ulama have written a lot about Ramadan, the virtues of it, and the purpose and the object, but the Quran Sharif itself, what it has defined, the purpose of the month of Ramadan, Allah says, Allah has made for rozas, fasting compulsory upon us, just as on the people of before, and all this so that we can acquire taqwa. So that is what we have come to, what is the month of Ramadan. The main thing, all the other things are 100% on their place. The ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in the form of tilawat of Quran Sharif, in the form of du'as, in the form of zikrullah, in the form of namaz, etc. All that has to be done. But the main object which Allah Himself has defined for the month of Ramadan is to acquire taqwa. So that we should, the whole ummah, wherever we are, those who are gone for umrah, etc., those who are out in jamaat, those who are in the khanqas, those who are in none of these three places, though they are just on their own, wherever in their homes, etc., the main thing of the month of Ramadan is that we should acquire taqwa. And what is taqwa? It is that ability, that strength that helps, that strength that keeps us away from sin. From here we understand that the desire of sin is a natural thing. It is going to be there. Allah Ta'ala Himself says in the Quran Sharif, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. First Allah has mentioned the fujur, that this nafs, wa nafsiyun wa ma sawwaha, this nafs which Allah has made, and Allah has made it in a very, very balanced way, wa ma sawwaha, and then Allah says, in this nafs, the desire of evil has also been put, and also the taqwa. In other words, in your car, there is an accelerator also, and there is a brake also. You must accelerate when it is safe to do so. You can accelerate. But the minute any danger comes, then apply your brakes. There is traffic, somebody crossing the road, whatever. Any danger comes, then put the brakes on. So we carry on with life. But whenever any danger comes, then we control our eyes. Anger has overtaken us, and we now desire to blurt out and speak whatever we want to. Put a brake now, put your leg on the brake and control that. And this was a very special quality of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and particularly it comes with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his manaqib, كَكَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Whenever the book of Allah, the law of Allah came, he would put a sharp brake. No matter where he was, in what condition, but wherever the law of Allah had come, then he would put a sharp brake there. So that is that taqwa that we must have. So if our brakes are failing, they are not working properly, or they are working but we are not using them, then we know what danger we will face. Wherever, it can be just a speed trap also, anything, we don't apply the brakes, or the brakes have failed, how many accidents are caused by this, and what terrible accidents. And spiritual accidents are much more worse than what the physical, worldly accidents are. So that is what we have to acquire from the month of Ramadan. That is for the whole ummah. And if we observe Ramadan properly, then inshallah, this taqwa will be given. لَعَلَّكُمْ in the hope of, and Allah's hope is definite, that if we will observe the rozas properly, with this rozas, fasting which Allah has made farad, then you will definitely acquire taqwa. Allah has put it in the hope of, that is, that it depends on you, taqwa will be granted. But how are you going to spend the month of Ramadan? And for that, very briefly, that with our rozas, which are the faraz, shara'i, fiqhi rozas, that we must abstain from three things: eating, drinking, and our lust, our desires, from the time of sehri until the time of iftari, then roza is done. But in order to get this taqwa, together with that basis and that foundation, we also have to keep rozas of the eyes, that we don't look at any haram whatsoever. We keep rozas of the tongue. We don't speak any haram, any lying, backbiting, swearing, vulgar language, etc. Roza of the ears. What is haram to be spoken is haram to be heard also. It is not sufficient that somebody is backbiting and we say, well, I'm not backbiting. Just by listening to it, that guna is equal to the guna of doing the backbiting. If somebody is humiliating and insulting somebody, and we just bystanders, and we say, well, I wasn't saying anything, but we are part of it, just being bystanders and being part of it, we also are part of that guna. So whatever spoken is haram, the hearing of that is also haram. And then rozas of our thoughts, in our mind, our heart, whatever thoughts we have, haram thoughts, that is also, we should abstain from that also. And in thoughts, very briefly, inshallah, later on, we will discuss this more in detail. There are three types of basic thoughts which are haram. One of which are the very common, thinking evil. And what we think of evil is about woman, etc., for satisfying our lust, etc. And in fact, in the hadith it comes that, for example, the zina of the eyes is the looking. When a person looks at a woman, what an evil, he is looking at another strange woman, that he is already committing zina. It is the zina of the eyes. And one type of zina, and that is in the masjid. It can be in the haram of Makkah. It can be everywhere. A person is in i'tikaf, but he thinks of other women, etc. All evil things. That is the adultery of the mind and the heart. So a person is guilty of adultery in that. So anyway, that is one type of thought which is haram. The other type, which is also or less common, but it is also there, is to look to think bad about somebody. That person is boasting. That person is doing things for show. Whatever, anything like that about other people, that also happens commonly in the masjid. Somebody, we are sitting in the masjid, and somebody has come, and we look at him now, we think that whole life he was making guna, now he's becoming pious, he's showing that he's pious. Somebody came early for namaz, Fajr he's there early, when we think that he must be having a receiver problem, or his daughter's marriage must be on the rocks, that is why he's coming. So all that, what right have we got to think that? That is also totally haram. And the third is to look at with jealousy at the things what Allah has given other people. Allah has given somebody a nice house, a nice car, whatever, to be jealous about this and to hate that person, or to that we desire of this dunya, that also what Allah has given us, we should be content with. So that also. So anyway, thoughts also, a person, and it isn't impossible to control thoughts. In the Hadith Sharif, we have been taught, Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. And what, there can be no greater teacher than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That these wasawis, evil thoughts, come from shaitan. Shaitan brings these evil thoughts in us. So what he wanted to destroy us, we use that same ammunition in order to destroy him. That this wasawis of mine, O Allah, this evil thoughts that I'm getting, change them into khashyatak, into your khawf, your khashyat, and into your dhikr. So that ammunition which he gave, that is now converted, and it makes us, where we were having bored from Allah, distant, being distant from Allah Ta'ala, that very same thing we use in order to come close to Allah Ta'ala. So that is a very, very effective dua which has been taught in the hadith. Then there are other duas also and other amals also. And if a person starts practicing upon it reasonably, he will be blessed with the great namat of his thoughts being clear. Like a person who is filthy, dirty, just because he didn't bath for a week, 2 weeks, for whatever reason, he feels so dirty and filthy. When he becomes clean, how nice he feels. A person's clothes became dirty, and now when he wears clean clothes, how nice he feels. When your thoughts become clean, a person will feel that nuraniyat. He will feel the great difference when a person, when he becomes clean of it. Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi has given this example, which our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatuhum has explained on several occasions, that a person who is living somewhere far away in a village, in the jungle, and the water he gets from his well, from the fountain, the well, it is no filter, nothing. And that well is such that water is mixed with sand. Half water, half sand. And he's got no filter, he drinks that. His body gets used to it, it doesn't affect him also. And he's used to it, he doesn't feel anything bad or wrong with that water also. Similarly, water in certain wells, it has got a bitter taste in it. So a person who has to drink it his whole life, he gets used to it. But the day that person will get clean, pure water, no sand in that water, then he will appreciate that water so greatly. So like that, as long as we, with our evil thoughts, we think this is normal life. This is how life carries on. But the day Allah will bless a person when he makes his reasonable effort, and more than that, the fizzle of Allah comes on him and he's blessed with clear thoughts. And not thinking of other women, for example, not thinking bad about people. This is a great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. When in fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told one sahabi, if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that don't think bad about other people. Clear your heart. When you go to sleep at night, have no ill feelings for any person whatsoever. And then he told, this is my sunnah. If you can, practice upon my sunnah. If we can clear the heart and we have got no ill feelings for anyone. In fact, even for that person who has done wrong to us, we come above, we say normally things, it's human nature. But what is sifat ihsan? What is tasawwuf? Ihsan is to go above human nature. And to get sifat the sifat of the malaika, the qualities of the malaika we get. So a person brings himself above it all and he forgives everyone. The person who has done him wrong also, he forgives that person also. And forget that he has forgiven that person. Allah puts this person in Jannah now in this world. He feels so happy within himself when he has got no evil thoughts about anyone and his heart becomes clean. So the control and roza of our thoughts also. So roza of the eyes also, roza of the tongue also, roza of the ears also, roza of our thoughts also, and then roza of our hands and legs also. That we don't use them, walk towards any haram places, etc. And in fact, not only all these things haram, but even doubtful things. Or not even doubtful, things that can lead towards haram. Because Allah Ta'ala says, Tilka hududullah. Allah has mentioned His hudud, which are very clear. And it is also the command of Allah, فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Not to go to those limits. That is also a command of Allah Ta'ala. Maulana Rum Rahmatullah Ali says, the cow that grazes right on the border of the field, it's very likely that it's going to cross the border at any time. So keep away from the border as far as possible. So our hands and legs, we shouldn't walk, we shouldn't drive in places where we can fall into sin also. We shouldn't go into those places also. So those are six. And then one seventh thing, which is also very important, is that five they are. The sixth thing is roza of our food. What does that mean, roza of the food? That we should make sure our food is halal. And not only halal, but it is healthy, wholesome. And one aspect of tayyiban, halalan tayyiban, is that we must have no doubt in that food. Not that we are eating, but we have got doubt, I don't know that how, what is the source of this food, etc. And there are enough instances of our buzurgs which are written in kitabs of how very particular they were about the food they had eaten. So it isn't just enough to have a halal label, but we must, there must be no doubt in it also. So the food must be halal, that is, it must be halal. Then it must be healthy, wholesome, good food, healthy food. And it must be food in which there is no doubt. So at Sehri and Iftari time, we must make sure that our food is healthy, is halal, is healthy, wholesome, and in which there is no doubt. And then the seventh thing that of roza, after trying to keep a roza like that, not to develop a holier than thou attitude, that I'm very pious now, that I have achieved this, and we kept our rozas in this way. Wherever a person may be, whether he's here in the Khanqa or wherever, and we heard about this, and we tried our best, and then after that, we think of the other house people, the other town people, the people, wherever they might have gone, who have gone in Hajj for Umrah, who have gone for in Jamaat, wherever they have gone, and we think we are more pious than them, then that also will, all our effort we will have washed it completely down. The Quran Sharif gives an example that there was one lady in Makkah Sharif by the name of Rita. Today it's pronounced as Rita. And she was such a stupid lady, that with her children, her daughters, from the morning they should get busy working very hard, weaving cloth till the afternoon. And from the afternoon, cut it up all into pieces. And not one day, every day doing this. Who can, it must be a mad person only, that they work so hard building it, making the cloth, and then in the afternoon she orders her daughters also, and they start cutting it up and completely destroying all the efforts. So the Quran Sharif says, don't be like that lady. You make hard effort to make all your amal. You go for a Hajj, for example, your Ramzan you spend so well, and on Eid's day you go and boast about it, that I did this, I did that, I achieved this, and the people were praising me, and my, and everyone just looking at me, and I did this. So what we had built up all, the whole month, we go and destroy it again. So Allah warns us against that also. So pride causes this. And what pride, associated close to pride, is riyakari, to do things for name and fame. Whether a person does it from the beginning for name and fame, then his amal is not even recorded. Or a person does it with sincerity, and shaitan does not leave a person. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has given this example, that a person made Hajj, for example. And today's Hajj, this also has got its hazards, but compared to the days of before, very briefly, a person living far away in a village is going for Hajj. And they used to go for Hajj for 1 year journey, 6 months journey. So they take all the provision. Those days, and I seen with my eyes, in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, now it's no more there. But before, the people, especially from India, Pakistan, would come with their rice, with their flour, with their ghee, everything, they would come from there. So this person living in the village, now they collect all these things here. And their luggage used to be plenty, lot of good, not bags, trunks and trunks they used to have. From there, by ox wagon, they would come till the main road, where the bus will be. And then they'll get onto the bus with all that goods of theirs, until they come to the town or city. With that, all their goods they will get onto the train now. And lot of people to see them off, to help them also. And then they will come to Karachi or Bombay. And then there they will spend 3-4 weeks or month getting all the things in order for Hajj. They would get their tickets there, their visas there, nothing arranged before time. Like nowadays, when we leave home, everything is arranged. But there they will go to the Haji Musafir Khana, and they will do all their work there. And then they will travel from there to Jeddah by ship. And that was another terrible, where most of the Hajis used to vomit, etc. Those seas used to be very rough with all that difficulty. And it was a famous saying, when they get to Jeddah, it was Qiyamah's day there. The customs and the officers there, they had a very, very rough time. Then they traveled whether to Makkah Sharif or Medina Sharif. And on those days by camels and the camel drivers. And there were Bedouins on the way who used to stop and loot, rob the people, rob them of all their things, etc. So what a hazardous journey they used to have. After all that, if a person made Hajj, and he came, one person, for example, he made not one Hajj like that, but 3 Hajj like that, with so much of difficulty. Then when some visitors came, he tells his son or the servant, the worker, bring my zamzam of my 3rd Hajj. And his object of that was to make it known that I am not a double Haji, I am a triple Haji. Imam Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi says, in that one sentence of his, all that great effort of 3 Hajj, he washed it out. He destroyed it. So just because he wanted to make it known, and a person, as a person makes effort on his nafs, he comes to understand how the nafs plays around with him. He's not even aware of it, and how the nafs make us. For example, one person making ishraq namaz, awwabin, any nafil namaz, and somebody now is praising him. This person is very pious. He makes every day his ishraq. He makes every day his awwabin and long, long namazes, and with so much devotion. And they are talking somewhere where he can hear. As they are praising, and this also he does good, that also, and his mind, he says, if only they knew also I got roza today. So this is how nafs plays around with a person is not aware of it also. And for such people, shaitan doesn't waste his time also on them, that they are fully in his account. So shaitan doesn't even waste his time on them. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayh one time said that some Shias, they told some Sunni people that no Shia ever becomes a Qadiani. It's only you Sunnis who become Qadianis. So they replied to that Shia and told him, Mufti Saab told him, that Shaitan doesn't waste his time going to Shias, because they haven't got Iman. What must he steal from them? They got nothing. Sunnis have got Iman. So he tries and steal their iman, rob them of the iman. But the Shias, there is nothing to rob them. So he doesn't even go to them. He doesn't bother with them also. He doesn't have to let them make other gunas, etc. They got nothing whatsoever. So he doesn't. A person who has got something, shaitan makes effort more on that person. So nafs plays havoc with a person, and a person is not even aware of it. So and the Quran Sharif says, وَهُمْ أَن يَحْبِطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, that your amal are completely snatched away, habt, taken away. Not your account is frozen in the bank, it is finished, they've stole your money. You got no account left, and you're happy, I've got millions. And you are daydreaming, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, whereas you got nothing whatsoever left. So like that, shaitan is our worst enemy. Nafs is the enemy from within. So to be aware of this. So if we keep our rozas with these 7 things in mind, then really we will acquire taqwa. And that is the profit. That is the profit of business. Doing business is not just for the sake of business. Having a beautiful shop, stocks are filled in, etc., and lot of customers. But what is the final thing? At the end of the day, you want to see what you have got in your hand. What profit you have got, what money you have made. My one auntie, Allah grant her Jannat and all the Muslims, She was running a house shop, a tuck shop, and then one day when I went, I saw the tuck shop is not there, so I asked her. She said that, I told you were so busy, you closed your tuck shop, you were doing so good business. She says, you must work out. She says that while you have a tuck shop, you cannot get pension from the government. And she says, the tuck shop, I work so hard, getting the goods, serving, not having 1 minute's rest. Now, while I'm cooking, while I'm resting, somebody comes for chappies, somebody comes for one stock suite, well, little small things, and I'm so busy, it looks so nice. But at the end of the month, whatever I got in my, after paying the merchants, everything, what I got in my hand. I close the tuck shop, I get pension, and I get the solid money in my hand, without any effort whatsoever. I just sit. So what we make at the end, and al-ibratu bil-khawateen, when we die and we go in our qabr, what we go. Yeah, whether, yeah, we are making lot of effort of deen, lot of namazes, lot of all big things, whatever, big darul uloom, everything. But it depends what we'll go with in the qabr. That is the important thing. When Maulana Qasim Ali Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, my brother-in-law passed away, we happened to go that time to Bangkok. There is one Babu Bey, he's from Pakistan, he's the Amir of the Jamaat there, and we were staying at his place. I explained to him how his mort came, everything. Very, very wealthy person, diamond dealer, big jeweler, and in deen also very pious person, and Amir of the Jamaat work, and everything, excel very much. After listening to everything, and an old man, and an experienced person, stayed with great buzurgs also, he dropped his head for a while, and he says, yahi kamyabi hai, this is success. Not all the things of this dunya, what we see, what is happening here, that when a person dies in such a way, this is what is success. This is what a person must work for. So that is what we have to strive for. That so what we make. So in Rosa also, we kept Rosas, lot of Taraweeh, lot of beautiful recitation of Quran Sharif, lot of praises, lot of duas, that person whole day making tilawat, that person whole day making dua, making zikr, all that is there. But at the end of Ramzan, did we acquire taqwa? That is the thing. We made 20 khatams, we made 50 khatams, we made so much nafil namaz, we give so much charity, but did we make taqwa? Did we get taqwa at the end of Ramadan? That we have to see. And the level of our taqwa, has it improved? It is there, alhamdulillah, every Muslim has got taqwa. The very first stages of taqwa, that we stay away from kufr, we stay away from shirk, that we don't do idol worship, all these things, then this, it goes up and up all the time. That how much did we observe, and then let us come on to the second part of our purpose here. That was Ramzan, generally for the whole ummah. And our purpose here, that this taqwa, outward a'mal, that alhamdulillah many people have got. Outward first, that we look like Muslims from head to toe, topi, beard, woman burqa, kurta, all those things, that is on its place. That's also a sign of taqwa. Then all that those things. Then our a'mal, namazes are in order, namazes outwardly, we perform them also properly according to sunnah, all that. But the main thing for which we are here is for the a'mali qalbiya, the a'mal of the heart. That a person might be performing his namaz also, but he has got pride in him. He has got love of dunya, love of name and fame, position in him, with all his namazes and with all his other things, that I'm the greatest alim, I'm the best hafiz, I'm the best qari, we want all that. And that also, shaitan, how he plays with a person. So the condition of the heart, which is called ihsan. Ihsan, an ta'budallah ka'annaka tarah. That we worship Allah as though we are seeing Allah. And if we can't reach that high stage, فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, that you have that yaqeen, Allah is watching me. And of course that is not with the eyes of the head that we can see Allah Ta'ala. With regard to that, لَنْ تَرَانِي, nobody can see me. Not even Musa alayhi salam was such a strong, jalali Nabi. Allah told him, you can't see me. So a person who is weaker, Where can he be able to? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he just pushed that person, they were fighting, and that person died. He's just little touching that person caused him to die. What a strong man. When Allah declared to him that you can't see me, who else can have the hope then? And therefore this qissa is connected with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was a Nabi of that type. His physical strength also. So with the eyes of our head we cannot see Allah, but with the eyes of the heart we make mushahada of Allah Ta'ala. We ask, how do we see Allah Ta'ala? The zaat of Allah, that we cannot see in any case. What do we see? The sifat of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala, we believe in the zaat, the being of Allah. Allah is in existence. We believe in all the sifat of Allah. And those sifat have been made known to us through the names of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah's names are not only 99. 99 have come in one hadith. Allah is unlimited. Allah's names are also unlimited. So a person then, he sees, for example, the Allah is khaliqus samawati wal ard. Allah is that being who created this whole, all the heavens and earth. And in there, if we just look outwardly, the huge skies, the huge earth, the seas, if we see. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum, when he was sitting in Durban at the coast, he was making dua. He says, "Oh Allah, I make dua to you, you who are the creator, who is Khalaqun Azim. What a great, you created this huge sea." If a person today, scientists all together, they can't make one drop of water. And if you can make a drop of water, you make a little glass, a bowl. But to make a stream, to make a river, and then to make the whole sea, and Allah's Qudrat, that rivers, Allah kept them flowing, so the water doesn't become dirty, stale and filthy. And the sea water, it's stagnant, it stands. Though the waves are moving, but it's in one place, it's not like a flowing river, the sea water. In order to keep that fresh, Allah put so much salt in the water. To keep, so that no matter how lot of dirt, many places where the sewage is still pumped into the sea, in spite of all that terrible sewage and dirty, filthy water, but Allah put so much salt in the water that water doesn't become bad. And the sea life, fish, etc., they don't die off. So Allah, what a great creator. So the sifat, and then if you go and see in the details of Allah Ta'ala, one side Allah created an elephant, so big animal, with such a big heart. And that same Allah created an ant, which is so small, and an ant has also got a heart. That Allah, which could make such a big heart, He can make such a small heart. Sometimes to make a big thing is easy, but to make such a small thing, it's very, very difficult. What is the Qudrat of Allah? If anything a person thinks, all the details, so that is seeing Allah. That you are seeing the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So the Zaat of Allah, the Sifat of Allah, the Qudrat of Allah. Allah is Rahman. How merciful is Allah. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Haleem. Allah is Kareem. And the details in all these things, that a person sees them. So the action of the heart. So this is Sifat Ihsan, to acquire this. And then from that heart, to remove jealousy from the heart. You can be a very great alim, and you can be a very great abid, making lot of ibadat. You can be a great mujahid and making lot of mujahada for deen, but there can be still jealousy in your heart. There can be still vanity. There can be still desire of name and fame, position in your heart. So together with the outward, just your outward form is not enough. Your outward amal are not enough. Many people feel, I make five times namaz, I make my tilawat. Many people say, I read so much ayatul kursi, I make so much zikr, but still I got so much problems in my life. No barkat in my rosary, etc. We have to look at the condition of the heart also. So our the object of tasawwuf, the mawzu of the, like ustads who teach nahwa, what is the mawzu of nahwa? Fiqh, what is the mawzu of fiqh? The mawzu of tasawwuf is the heart. Outward amal also, outward our condition must also be right. Outward amal also, but we must not be unmindful of the condition of the heart. And when these things are not there, this is then the root that there is no barakat in a person's life. Just for example, Sheikh Yunus, Damat Barakatum, who was here in Durban, they told him that to go and see the optician. They said that we will go. They made the arrangement. So then he decided, he said, I'm not going. They say, but why? We have spoken to the optician. He says that I can't wait in a queue. It's very hard for me. They say, no, we have made the optician. You'll go direct to the optician. So he says that those people who are waiting from the morning, 10 people sitting in a queue, and then we just bypass them and we go. This is the cause of be barkati in a person's life. When we, this is a small thing, we don't think of it. In fact, we think it our honor that I was taken directly and I didn't have to sit and wait in the queue. But we have deprived other people who are waiting, poor people. And Allah is Rabbul Alameen. Allah is seeing that the poor person who came by bus, who came from what a place, and sitting in the queue for 2 hours, and we just walk past and we go. So these things, this that takes the barakat out of a person. Then a person wonders, why is there no barakat in my life? All these things count very much. For example, the owner of Hewlett Sugar Mill, not now, he must be dead by now, a white man, a Christian man. At that time the business was very, very small. He wanted to sell a car of his, and the buyer who wanted to buy it was also a non-Muslim, a Hindu. He came, they made the price, and he told him, I haven't got money. I'll pay you off monthly so much. They agreed. It was done. The very next day, another person came and offered him a much more better price and cash. But he said, I gave my word. Allah, according to him, he says, by this Allah had put barakat, the God Almighty had blessed me, and Hewlett Sugar Mills became so big. So the word of a person. So all this is to do with the condition of the heart, that these things have to come. Outwardly we can bluff ourselves, and what is called khush fehmi, that we are happy within ourselves. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I've achieved this. But by Allah, what is our position? That is the important thing. So the condition of the heart. So that is what we have to concentrate on. When we're namazes, we have to be regular. Do our tilawat, our zikr, everything. But don't forget the most important, the condition of the heart. The heart is the place of iman. That is the most important. If a person, a munafiq, who dresses so well like a Muslim, there are places, one person went to a place in the UK, and when he saw those people, their zikr, their tilawat, their everything, how well they were doing. He was so impressed. These are angels. Then the person who took him told him, don't be bluffed. These are all agents being prepared to go and work in the Muslims. They haven't even got iman. They are just being trained to make zikr like this, to make dua like this, and cry in their duas, and what beautiful words in their duas, how eloquent in Arabic, in all languages, in whichever community they are going to go and work, and they appear to be so pious people, but no iman. What is the use of it? Nothing. So that is the important thing. Iman and the qualities of iman. And Allah's help is not with a'mal. Allah's help is with sifat. Allah Ta'ala nowhere in the Quran Sharif said, Inna Allaha ma'al musallin, that Allah's help is with those who make namaz. Inna Allaha ma'al sa'imeen, Allah is with those people who keep roza. What qualities? Inna Allaha ma'al sabireen. Inna Allaha ma'al muttaqeen. Qualities, those are the things that we have to strive for. So that is what we have to make our niyat, and which we have to keep in mind, that the qualities of the heart we have to develop. And taqwa is quality of the heart. It is that at the end of Ramadan, how much has my taqwa improved? How much am I looking down on people? How much my jealousy for people? How much have I got feelings for other fellow people, etc.? Those are the things. And of course, our amal, which are required, that has to be on place. Let us not be amongst those misguided and ignorant Sufis who say Shariat is something else and Tariqat is something else, and they don't even make namaz. In fact, they take drugs, they drink liquor, mix freely with women, etc., all that, and they regard themselves as big Sufis and big pious people, and they say the only important thing is our connection with Allah Ta'ala. That connection will be judged with our zahiri amal, which has to confirm to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amal themselves also are not enough. They have to confirm, there must be ikhlas in amal. If the person who's got a lot of feeling for the poor people, genuine feeling, and he goes and steals from the rich people, and all what he steals, 1 cent also he doesn't keep for himself. He gives it all to the poor people. But that amal is not accepted by Allah. The amal, the niyat there, the heart is very good. But the amal does not confirm. And he's doing it with ikhlas, with 100% sincerity. He doesn't keep 1 cent for himself. So the amal must confirm to Sharia, to fiqh also, and it must be according to the sunnah also. So our amal also must be there, and that amal must be in the correct way. For example, it's not enough just to keep a beard, but is my beard according to sunnah? That is important. To keep a beard is wajib, it is compulsory, not sunnah. Then to keep it according to the sunnah, that is required. If the beard is just to the extent of the grain of one rice, less than what it is according to the specification of sunnah, the guna is just like you kept no beard. So you'll be happy I got a beard, whether it is a French beard, a pencil line beard, whatever. But if it is to the extent of 1 grain of a rice, less than what is required according to sunnah, it is like you got no beard. So it is necessary, not just that the nafs-e-wujud of that amal be there, but it must be done properly according to sunnah. So it's not an easy task. We are walking pul sirat in this world. And yeah, if we walk pul sirat correctly, we will walk pul sirat correctly in the akhirah. But if yeah we falter, then may Allah protect us. We must not falter there. So this is the task. That is why we are here. And for that, fikr is necessary. A person who has got fikr all the time. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, in order to make a person's Islam, first have a Shaykh, somebody to guide you. Otherwise, how will you know the road? You need somebody to guide you. And then after that is that we must... If we have the sheikh, then have the fikr. That why did I make? Some people become bayat just for barakat, or they had some problems at that time on the spur of the moment, they just became bayat, they keep no contact. But then the fikr, why you made a sheikh? Your sheikh, if you are genuine, then it is to find Allah, to make your Islam. So continuously to have that fikr. When we wake up, that fikr. When we go to bed, we have that fikr. All the time we must have that fikr, and then to make zikr accordingly, and the zikr, outward zikr, and all other adhkar, du'as, tilawat of Quran Sharif, our ma'mulats, complete them, then inshallah a person will reach his destination. A person who doesn't want to go to Durban, he's not going to go fill petrol, get a car, buy an air ticket, he doesn't want to go. So first, if you want to go to Allah, then you'll make a sheikh. You'll go and get your vehicle, you'll get your ticket, and after that, you got your vehicle, etc., your ticket, whatever the requirements are, you didn't pay for your ticket, or you didn't fill petrol, or you got a puncture, how are you going to reach? All those things must also be in order. Then you need your directions also. Your directions must be also right. Then you'll reach your destination. So the same thing, first that niyat that I want to reach Allah. And for that, that person will reach who realizes, I can't reach on my own. I need a guide. I need somebody to guide me. And who you trust, you'll go to that person. You will make him your sheikh. And that he will guide me to Allah. He is the best guide. He is the best person. Whenever we want to do anything, we want the best in the field. So when we want to reach Allah, see what does my heart say? Who is the best person that will guide me to Allah? Then after you have made him, he gave you your directions, etc., then use the directions. Don't, if you peg the directions away and you don't follow them, how will you reach your destination? Follow those directions. And then inshallah, you travel, make all your preparations, and we will reach our destination. So the purpose of the month of Ramadan, which the Quran Sharif explains, is to acquire taqwa. And the method of that is to observe the rozas properly, to make our tilawat properly. And then the purpose of us coming here in the khanqah is not for ibadat only, it's not only for itikaf, but the main thing is the condition of the heart. Together with that, our outward amal also must be correct, our outward appearance must also be correct, But the main thing, the condition of the heart. So we work towards that. Allah is most merciful. If we make our true niyat and make two rakats of Salatul Hajj every day and beg Allah that we must become, by when we go to the Khanqa in Karachi by our Shah, many people who come there, they commonly say, please make dua, Allah make me Allah wala. No other, that Allah make my Islah. That please make dua, Allah make my Islah. Every time we go, the same thing they say. So that worry they have got, so that concern, what is on the back or on the mind all the time, what is worrying you, you make dua for that all the time. So this worry must be there, that my Islah must be made. I must be becoming Allah wala. My akhirat must be made. That worry must be there. Not only our dunya's worry, our akhirat's worry, our deen's worry. And nobody is perfect. So no, never can you say my Islah is made. Never can you say that now my work is done. All the, if you are genuine, you'll realize I still have to go and I got a long way to go. You'll make shukr from where you have come and where Allah has brought you. But more your eyes will be where you have to be going. So may Allah Ta'ala bless us with these realities and make this Ramadan fruitful for us, for the whole ummah. And when Eid comes, like Maulana Inamul Hasan Sabir Hazarji Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that spend your life like Ramadan, then your mort will come like Eid. How a person who keeps rozas reasonably and he did things, Eid, he's happy, I kept rozas, I made my khatams, etc. But if we spend our whole life like that, and with the inner qualities, then Eid, when mort will come, you look forward to Eid. At home yesterday, when I came home, family told me that I don't hear Ramzan Mubarak. When Eid, from outside I hear Eid Mubarak. But Ramzan, nobody is Ramzan Mubarak. Why is that happiness not there? Ramzan must be more. That Ramzan Mubarak, what a month Allah has given us, which we'll try and discuss. Eid, we all feel happy. But if we spend our month, our whole life properly, then Eid will come. We'll look forward to Eid. We'll be happy to be going. Like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu told his wife, that why are you crying? Be happy. I'm going to meet Muhammad. I'm going to meet the Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhum. So that is the condition of the heart. Then see what life will be. So that is our purpose. May Allah let us realize it, and realize it also, achieve it also, acquire it also.